Good morning. My name is Margaret Reed, and I work here for the Boston Public Health Commission. I hope you've enjoyed your time here in our city. I'm going to be talking about, and I have no financial relationships to disclose. I'm going to be talking about our campaign to involve youth in our efforts to reduce access and use of low-cost cigars. Just to start with, Boston is a city of about 620,000 residents. We are a city that is a majority population, people of color. And this campaign really was mostly conducted among high school students. And as you can see from this data, our high school students are largely people of color. 13% are white. So in Boston, we've been very lucky. We actually have a very strong tobacco control program, and we've had a very effective appointed Board of Health. Our Boston Tobacco Prevention and Control Program enforces tobacco and nicotine sales and workplace regulations, and they permit tobacco and nicotine retailers. We have about 900 permits in the city right now. We work closely with our advocacy community, and we really have a strong youth and community anti-tobacco advocacy community that we've had for many, many years. Our appointed Board of Health has set many first-in-the-nation tobacco regulations around blunt wraps, around pharmacy and sales, around sales on higher ed campuses. We were the first community in Massachusetts to do smoke-free workplaces. And our elected city council also has authority to set regulations. We're very lucky that in Massachusetts, our State Department of Public Health initiated an organization called the 84. At the time of initiation, 84% of Massachusetts youth were not using tobacco products. That number has since gone up to 86%. And the 84s is a statewide youth anti-tobacco movement. It's managed by the nonprofit organization Health Resources in Action. And in Massachusetts, there's over 80 chapters. For many years, have been becoming increasingly concerned about the presence of low-cost cigars in our community. Because we permit retailers, we inspect all our retailers every year, and we work with closely with community groups, we have become more and more aware of the presence and use and how affordable you could buy a cheap cigar for 50 cents in the city of Boston. These products, again, we are a city where 85% of our high school students are people of color. And these products are particularly marketed to children of color, particularly Black and Latino youth. And the marketing is very targeted as well. You can see on this poster an artist that, you know, I don't know who he is, I'm not his demographic, marketing cigars. We know from research, and this is true in our city, that billboard advertising is much more concentrated in our neighborhoods of color. We know from research that low cost and flavor is very attractive to youth. So these products really were becoming a concern for us. And we knew from our own compliance checks that for whatever reason, our retailers were selling these products to underage youth at a higher rate than they were selling cigarettes. Now, this is just a great example of targeted marketing. If you go online and Google Philly Blunts Adidas Superstars, you are going to find out just how popular these products are. People are they're hard to get. People are trying to, you know, trying to find them on eBay. And you can see the shoe leather is designed to look like a tobacco leaf. It also, near the Adidas, there's also the tie-in to marijuana, which is another issue. I'm not going to get into it today, but you know, we have a lot of evidence, reason for concern that marijuana may actually be a way that kids are being introduced to tobacco because they're rolling up marijuana in tobacco leaves. And we, on our YRBS survey, almost 40% of the kids responded, yeah, I've done that. I've smoked my marijuana in a tobacco leaf. So this is just a great example of targeted marketing. In 2010, we were one of the lucky communities that were selected for Communities Putting Prevention to Work, ARRA funding. In Boston, we were very lucky. We got both obesity and tobacco track, and I oversaw the tobacco prevention funding. And one of the requirements of CPPW was that communities do a pre and a post CPPW specific youth risk behavior survey. We saw this as an opportunity because we have always had questions on our YRBS about cigar use, but we were very convinced that the questions that we were getting under-reporting because the kids didn't necessarily understand that what they were smoking was a cigar, and there's a little bit of research to support that. So we use this as an opportunity to ask much more specific questions. What you'll see here is, this is have you smoked a cigarette in the past 30 days? Particularly among our black high school students, there's very little cigarette smoking going on. It's not the product of choice. We added some questions to the CPPW YRBS. We asked, you know, have you ever smoked a little cigar, and we asked about flavor, and we started getting much, much higher numbers. But when we got even more specific, when we said black and mild, we got an overall 24% positive rate. So this really kind of reinforced what we had been thinking is like often the kids don't know that what they're smoking is a cigar, so that we have to be very specific about the products. Out of that, we decided to develop a public awareness campaign really targeted to black and Latino youth about low-cost cigars with a goal of really increasing awareness and changing social norms. And our campaign ultimately, the tagline became, it's your money, don't burn it. We had a huge amount of distribution. We showed it on downtown theaters. We had English and Spanish television and radio. All our high school students in Boston take public transportation, so there was a lot of exposure through billboards and transit ads. And then there was interactive elements of the campaign, which is there was a website with an online pledge, postcards, and then education in the school and community. To develop the campaign, we worked with Health Resources in Action to, they conducted focus groups of black and Latino teens and young adults. And these focus groups were, some of them were kids that were active in the 84s, some were youth that were not necessarily users of these products, but in social networks where that was acceptable, and then the third was youth that were actually using the products. We then went on to do more in-depth qualitative interviews, and the themes that really came out was that these products are a waste of money and that there are long-term health impacts. So we came up with it's your money, don't burn it. And our communications office then went back and developed three media concepts using that theme, and then presented these concepts at a citywide meeting of the Boston 84s. The youth really recommended that this campaign be very direct and very obvious, not subtle. And you can see one of the posters that we came up with ultimately is it's just this many cheap cigars over this amount of time, and this is what you can't have. The youth actually selected four products that are the that are in the campaign as four products that are important to youth. So those are the products. I do want to say the testing was so important because what we found out was, you know, our communications office is pretty sophisticated and actually fairly young in demographics, but one of the campaigns used a term that we had no idea was street slang for crack cocaine, which we found out at our 84 meeting. And the other one had a comedian, which we thought very benign, kind of poking fun at people who use these products. And the reaction of the youth was, this made me feel, you know, I was offended. This would make me feel embarrassed or like fighting. So, I mean, it really spoke to the importance of engagement. This is just another one of the, just another one. Some of our radio personalities did an online public service announcements where they created a pledge. The high school that got the most pledges would have an event, and they had a fabulous event at one of our largest high schools in the spring. This isn't my most updated version. We had the students created these, and then they went around to schools, and people would sign what they were saving their money for, and so many of them were aspirational. A lot of them were for my daughter, for college, to start my own business. And this is just some of the youth at one of the schools. Actually, the young man is John Wen, and he was on our CPPW leadership convened by our Mayor Menino, and he really held his own. The reach, we had over 11,000 unique visitors to the interactive website, and you can see at the bottom the jammin' contest impressions was over 650,000, and then, you know, huge amount of exposure through Facebook, MBTA, billboards. In order to evaluate, one thing we did was ask the 84 to write a report on their experience, and one of their statements was the Don't Burn It campaign was widely owned by youth because they were involved in its development and selection process. Youth felt a sense of pride for this campaign and enjoyed promoting it. We did, after the campaign ended, we did focus groups with really uninvolved youth in community settings. And most youth reported that they remembered seeing and hearing the campaign. They knew what these products were. They remembered the Don't Burn It message, and they understood and agreed with the message of money and health. And we actually have great quotes that I didn't include. So at the same time, our Boston Board of Health was really examining these products and youth access to these products, and they were considering a regulation that would make them more expensive. And what they were looking at was a packaging regulation with a minimum cost and a minimum package of four, and then the cost would increase when there were more. One of the benefits of the packaging regulation is it requires them to be in their original package, which then has a warning label. It's legal to just sell these individually, where then they don't have a warning label and they're cheap. They held a 60-day public comment period and a public hearing, and it was very well attended, and I have to say, we always advertise in the newspaper, and this particular issue gained a lot of earned media. We also, at the same time, they were considering regulating e-cigarettes, which they did. So there was a lot of participation in the process, and much of it was not supportive of regulation. But in terms of supportive of regulation, there were 400 letters in support of the regulation. The youth created their own petitions and postcards, and some of these postcards were, they were just very individualized, and many of them used art. The 76 youth actually submitted written testimony, and then 40 youth and community members actually testified at the hearing. Here's a quote, and it really speaks to the understanding of what the regulation was about. In our area, there's a lot of kids that are like under the age 18. They can buy one cigar because it only costs like a dollar. So it's like pocket change. If you increase the per pack sale, it's going to cost more than a dollar. And kids usually, like the parents will give them $2 for lunch, and they'll use that after school. So if you increase the per pack, that will raise the price, and that will mean the kids can't get their hands on it. So where are we today? We're very pleased that our Boston Public Schools, who administers the YRBS, has incorporated some of these more specific cigar questions into their permanent YRBS administrations. Our Boston Board of Health did pass the pricing and packaging regulation, and we have been waiting for our post-CPBW YRBS results. We expected them in October, but we haven't received them. But in Massachusetts, actually, this regulation has been adopted, and I think it's more than 17 communities, and our state legislature is considering making it statewide. So I do have to acknowledge some of the activities that I described here were funded through the Centers for Disease Control Community Pudding Prevention Initiative, but the presentation is mine and doesn't reflect anyone else's perspective. Thanks.